Shabbat shalom. Thank you, Brother Javon. I have a little dime here, 10 cents. I want to give you a little story about that. Put it right there. It might seem insignificant, but it means a lot to you when you're going through a tough time. So poverty affects education. Interesting. I was looking for my registration, and I found it in my scriptures. Hallelujah. Okay, the first part of this is poverty affects education. And then the second part of that title is, and our systems perpetuate it. This was taken from an article. Hallelujah and happy Sabbath to one and all, especially those online. I might have a family member visiting with us, so praise Yahweh for that. For all those teens out there, 13 and above, you want to write down Ecclesiastes 11:9, and if you don't understand some of the wording in it, ask your parents, which that will get you to engage in a conversation. That would help. But it talks about things that you're going to be allowed to do. And it encourages you to do certain things. But then you're going to be asked. You're going to be called into question about that. King David asked Yahweh not to remember the sins of his youth. So someone asked me to speak on how our nation's schools are affecting our youth. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. Just heard about a shooting not too long ago there in Texas. Some of that stuff is tragic. It's depressing. And I mean, if we sit there and dwell on it, it's kind of tough. In this life, we have to take the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there's a couple ways to go about this. I would like to say that if I were a youth right now, in public school, it would be very, extremely difficult for me to stay out of trouble because there are things that have to be spoken out against. And some people don't like it when you speak out about certain things. Now, this is not an attack or me saying that followers of the way should not have their children in public schools. We need not look too far to see how some youth and people in general are dealing with frustration in our time. Going berserk and killing people at random, it seems like a swell idea to some people. It's as if they were going to the gym and letting off some steam. Those of you that work out, you know how it is when you're stressed, you go, you hit the weights, it makes you feel good. Well, for some people, they deal with frustration in a different way. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 15 real quick. Some of these, I don't have them all on the screen, but for those online, those here, all them scriptures there should be 12 of them there. I'm just going to take those in order. Some of them I'll read them to you. Some of them we can turn there. I have some bookmarks here. But actually, Deuteronomy 15:11, it's speaking of the sabbatical. You can read there. It says, "For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land." So you say to yourself, Brother Jose, what's that got to do with poverty and education? I say it has everything to do, because Yahweh is in the business of educating his people. Hallelujah. Now, Yeshua says that some of us are poor in spirit. In Matthew 5:3, we read, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of Yahweh." Sometimes if you have a lack of faith, that's what that's talking about. Others are strong. They're like Samson when it comes to their faith. And then some of us, you know, we're wimps when it comes to our faith. So we have to go to Yahweh at certain times. Now, this world could care less about the sabbatical. But look, Yahweh specifically put that in place to help ease some burdens, such as falling on hard times. So breaking the sabbatical right now is breaking countries. That's why some people are not blessed. That's why some farmers are not blessed. Why? Because they don't know. They weren't taught. Maybe you're a farmer, maybe you didn't go to school. So you don't know about this. You don't know that Yahweh put this into place. This was in his design. Even in Genesis, let's talk about children and parents. they go hand in hand. Yahweh said, be fruitful and multiply. He gave you blessings. He gave you gifts. He gave you responsibilities on both sides. There you have scripture number 3, Ephesians 6. You read verse 1 on down to 3. We're going to try to tie this all together. So just be patient. And I'm hoping that somebody out there will be inspired. Maybe you feel like you don't have a place to turn to. You know, times are tough. May Abba be with us. It reads there in Ephesians 6, 1, 2, 3. It says, children, obey your parents in the master, for this is right. Notice here it doesn't say rich or poor. If you're a child, you're instructed to obey your parents as long as they're guiding you in the right direction. Verse 2, respect your father and mother. Reverence your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. If you do this, it says in verse 3, in order that it might be well with you and you might live long on the earth, you might be a blessing to your parents. But it doesn't leave out the fathers and mothers. It says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children, but bring them up in the instruction and admonition of the master. I could tell you when I was a kid, if you were up in my face, you know, that didn't feel good to a child when he's trying to learn, when he doesn't know certain things, when he doesn't have common sense. That's why it says to the fathers, don't provoke your children. It takes a special patience that Abba gives to the parents to deal with the children and the other way around also. Okay, next one is Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, if you go there. This is a chapter that tells us on how to deal with situations with the brethren, but we'll tackle verse 2 to verse 5. Matthew 18, verses 2 through 5. Give you a little bit of time to get there. We are admonished to be humble as children. Abba loves children. And Yahshua called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of Yahweh. You will be greater than Yohanan, John the Immerser, if you just humble yourself in the sight of Yahweh. The next scripture, Proverbs 22, verse 6. I didn't want to bore you with a lot of stats. Elder Randy tackled some of these in Daddy Duty and one other sermon he gave where, you know, the stats on single moms and so on. It's depressing what we see, but we have to go through this. Sometimes we speak to people that go through tough times and we have to try to comfort them. Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. He will not leave the faith. I have a scripture here. I didn't put it on this list, but I have it separately. But listen to this in the Torah, the first 5 books. You will find it in Deuteronomy 21, verse 20, if you want to write that down. In the Torah, a rebellious son could be stoned to death. Remember, the scripture said, obey your parents that you will be blessed. If you were rebellious to such a point, your parents could take you to the elders and they would stone you to death so that others would learn a lesson. This is called educating Yahweh's people, the parents and the children alike. The Levites were supposed to do the teaching, but you were also supposed to do teaching at home. So let us ask a question. Are most children in our nation's schools, and we're not talking about private schools, are they trained in the way that they should go? Am I saying that you're a bad person? No, but the question is, are most children trained in the way that they should go in the schools now? We would have to agree that most are not. But the question is, why? Well, you have to answer that question. I can't answer for everybody. Proverbs 1:7. If this doesn't apply to you, then you take it with a grain of salt. Proverbs 1:7 reads, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I remember some artist singing in one of their songs, they're saying, when somebody's teaching, why don't you take advantage and get taught? It doesn't cost you anything. If you already know about that, then maybe they could add something to what you already know. Another question we have to ask, what happened to the teaching and learning of scripture and prayer in our schools? What happened to it? Most schools begin with the national anthem. We probably know that by heart, easier than some scriptures. Even that is in our news right now, the national anthem, and so on. In Proverbs 9, verses 9 and 10, you know, King Solomon, he did a lot of teaching. He had a lot of kids. It doesn't say how many kids he had, but he had a good teacher. Proverbs 9, verses 9 and 10, it says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase learning. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We have to learn to put a difference between what is holy, like the Shabbat, and between any other day that Yahweh gave us. Yahweh gave it to us. We have to redeem the time, but there's a day that is holy to Yahweh, and there's a day that he didn't bless. How do we make a difference? Do we change it around and say, no, I'll keep this day instead? I'm going to teach Yahweh how he should, you know, do things. Some people say that. Now, if you are poor but humble, that alone will get you far. Because the scripture says that Yahweh exalts the humble. You could be a rich person and be humble. You could be a poor person and be humble. Hallelujah. Now, going back to the title, Poverty Affects Education. Abba gives capacity even to poor people, but our all-around situation will either make us or break us. Poverty will affect our situation, but will it be positive or negative? Will you be motivated to do better? Or will you be negative and expect things and justify doing certain things because you're in a certain situation? We can turn this around and say, being born rich does not guarantee us or our future generations success. We've heard of many people squandering their riches. Why? Only they know. Who knows? The rich young ruler asked Messiah for advice on how to make it to the kingdom, but he didn't do what Yahshua told him. Very simple. Sell all that you have. Is it that you don't want to sell that you have? Sell what you have because you're going to give to the poor? You're going to say, I work for all this, now I just have to give it away? Sometimes that's what Yahweh asks of you. As Brother Javon said, reasonable worship. That was reasonable worship for that man. Because he tried to justify himself. I've already done this. I already learned all those commandments. I'm already keeping them. Okay, well, go the extra mile. So he was told how to enter into the kingdom. This was a privilege. Yahshua didn't go around telling everybody how to enter into the kingdom. That's why he spoke in parables. It's not that the people were stupid. It's not that he didn't want them to get into the kingdom. It's that he knew that certain people will not do anything with the word of Yahweh. They will hear it. They might rejoice, but they're not going to do anything. They're not going to promote the kingdom. They're not going to further the kingdom. They're not going to help themselves. They're not going to humble themselves. So even Yahshua said, why am I going to waste my time with these people? I'll speak to them in parables. Maybe they can figure it out. So now, 10 cents right here. You know how much value this has? Way back in 87, I can make a phone call with that on the island of Puerto Rico. I don't know about now. I don't know if there's any public phones still around. But I was in the fifth grade. And you know, when you're in grammar school, you know, you're sitting there, you're learning, and you get hungry, right? Maybe the teacher's boring. So, you know, we would take little recesses and go to the lunchroom, and cookies cost 10 cents. And guess what? 90% of the time, I didn't have a dime to my name. all the kids there, you know, having fun, you know, some of them buying two or three, some of them might say, you know, here, you can have one. How do you think that feels? Is that motivating to you? Does it make you hate your situation? It's different if you don't know better. It's different if you're in the faith, you have your two parents, they're teaching you. You're going to go about things a lot differently. But if your parents, you know, they're not in the faith, maybe they both work, maybe they don't make enough to take care of you. Some people are going through the situation. I mean, I remember in Dollar General, we used to fill up drums full of peanut butter and all kind of foods. And, you know, they say some kids go home on Friday. You know, schools are back in session. Some kids go home on Friday and they won't have a bite to eat till next Monday when they come back to school. Man, that hurts. You know, when I think about that, that's touching you right there in your neighborhood. You used to be there in those shoes. Times are hard. 10 cents. You can't afford 10 cents? Maybe you can convert that to maybe a dollar right now. You can't afford a dollar? Think about it. Some of us, we have too much, right? But by the world standards, you're still poor, right? But better to be poor according to the world standards, but rich in faith according to what you know. So praise Yahweh. Share your faith if you get a chance. There's plenty of opportunities, especially now with the way things are, with the way some people think nowadays. So we have hungry children in our schools, single parent homes, and overcrowded classes. I thought we had a lot of students in our class when I heard about how many children are in some classes in other countries. It's like double what we have here. So think about this. This is a recipe for disaster for an underpaid teacher. You got to deal with all these kids. It's like Moses. They're probably saying, I didn't give birth to all these kids. Why do I have to deal with this? You know, you have to be patient. You can't touch anybody's kids now. You can't tell them they're doing anything wrong. You just can't. You're taken to court. Some of the brethren in this faith been substitute teachers before. They know what it's like. I tell you, when we had substitute teachers, we thought it was party time. This is not our regular teacher. They don't know us. Here's a little quote. Here's a quote from the Washington Post, October 20, 2014. An article is titled, "The College Trap That Keeps People Poor." It says, "Being poor is a big impediment to getting the education that lifts you out of poverty." Sure, some people sign up for college. They go to college, but they don't have enough to finish. You know what the scriptures say about, you know, a building? You start a project and you can't finish it. What do people say about somebody like that? Now, sometimes we have generational curses, but I haven't read a law that says a generational curse can't be broken. I don't know if you find it. Let me know, because according to Ezekiel 18, everyone answers for their own sin. You can read the whole chapter and double check me, make sure that that's the right chapter. I'm pretty sure it's 18. It could be 21, but I think it's 18. It says there, I mean, if you have a wicked father and he has a son, and that son walks according to the word of Yahweh, is Yahweh going to punish him? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24. We'll tackle a couple verses there. Deuteronomy chapter 24. We'll start in verse 10 for context, but I want to key in on 12 and also 14 and 15. Deuteronomy 24, verse 10. "When you lend to your brother anything, you shall not go into his house to fetch his pledge." Don't go knock down his door. "You shall stand abroad, and the man whom you lend to shall bring out the pledge abroad." Verse 12, "And if any man be poor, you shall not sleep with his pledge, The way I understand that is some brethren, they had, it's like a prayer shawl, it's like a blanket. They used to cover themselves with that when they slept. And sometimes they would pawn this item. So you, according to the scripture, at sunset were supposed to return it to them. Because if you didn't, they were going to cry out to Yahweh. You were going to be in big trouble. That's according to the Torah. What is this saying? This is education on mercy. Somebody pawned their garment to you. You still are supposed to have mercy at the end of sunset. Some people, they slept outside. Look at Jacob. He slept, got a rock there for a pillow. So he needed a covering. So if he was to pawn his garment, you were supposed to return it to him. Also, verses 14 and 15. You shall not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of your brethren or your strangers that are in your land or in your gates. At his day you shall give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor, and set his hearts upon it, lest he cry against you to Yahweh, and it be sin unto thee. Okay, now, how often do teachers get paid? How often do state workers get paid? Every 15 and every 30th? That's a long time for you to be withholding those wages. For those wages to be getting interest in your checking account. You see what this says here? You see if you were teaching this in schools? You see the blessing you would be getting from Almighty Yahweh? Why? Because he knows better. He didn't just put the commandment, tell you keep it. I'm not going to keep it. Holding back wages brings curses. What are we seeing in our nation? The blessings are going away. They're going away quick. Why? The people don't know. Why? Because they're not being taught. Why? Because they don't care about Yahweh. They have their own ways to fix things. They have their own ways that they're going to do things. This is speaking to us, to our system, how we run it according to our own ways. Again, if this doesn't apply to you, you take it with a grain of salt. Psalm 78, it has some things to say about the testimonies of Yahweh. And even though some of us may not be rich according to the world, we can still be successful. It doesn't matter how much I have right now. If I'm not at a certain level, I'm still considered poor. But then again, I noticed that I did a lot more with less. I did a lot more with less. Less distraction. I read Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. That's going to be scripture number 10 there. My people, give ear to my Torah. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter riddles of old, which we have heard and known. For our fathers have related them to us. We do not hide them from their children, relating to the generation to come the praises of Yahweh and his strength and his wonders which he has done. I'll just stop there real quick. That's a question. What has Yahweh done for you lately? Has he done a lot? Turn that question around. What have we done for Yahweh lately? Right? For he raised a witness in Jacob and set a Torah in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, look, to teach them to their children, that it might be known to the generation to come, to children who would be born, to raise up and relate them to their children, and place their trust in Elohim, and not forget the works of El, but watch over his commands, and be not like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Is that what we're seeing in our time? A stubborn and rebellious generation? A generation which did not prepare his heart, whose spirit was not steadfast to El. Yahweh has done a lot for us. Sometimes his mercy makes me cry. His mercy. The scripture says that's why we're not consumed, because of his mercy. 1 Corinthians 1:26. That's the second to last scripture. It says there that not many mighty and not many noble are called. How many lawyers do we see here? How many people that are supposedly higher up on this ladder, how many of them are here with us? The JFB commentary says on this verse that they are wise after the flesh. The wisdom of this world acquired by human study without the Spirit. You know a lot about a lot. But when it comes to the word of Yahweh, it's foolishness to you. You don't care. That's not saying that you're a bad person. That's not attacking you. It's just saying that fleshly people, when it comes to the word of Yahweh, you know, they're not in tune to it. And maybe Yahweh wants them there. We don't know that. We don't know if down the road they might come into the faith. Yahweh made vessels for honor. He made vessels for dishonor. He made them for his purpose. Just like we have our clothes for Shabbat, and then we have our clothes to do dirty laundry, right? You do your dirty deeds outside, you know, you clean up around and whatever. You're not going to wear your Sabbath clothes for that, right? So coming on the way up here, I was thinking to myself, you know what? Yahweh always gives us the best. He gives you and I the best. He doesn't make junk. He's not sloppy. Yahshua was a perfect student. Yahweh gave us his son, his only son, to die for our wickedness, all those foolish things that we do. Yahweh gave us his son. My last scripture, Hosea 4:6. It's up there on the screen, Hosea 4:6. It says, my people, Yahweh's people, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Remember that scripture in Proverbs 9? The people didn't appreciate. Fools die for want of wisdom. You give them advice, they don't take it. So if that's the case, what about those who are not his people? What's going to happen to them? So there are ways to get out of poverty, but what is the goal if you do get out of it? Do you forget those who helped you along the way? Do you get prideful and say you did it all without Yahweh's help? The apostles were poor, but they had the best teacher. And they paid their teacher back by obeying the commandments. Scriptures say that Yahweh gives rain to the just and the unjust. No one on earth could ever say, Yahweh never helped me. Because he gives us our very breath. I personally give thanks to Yahweh for all those people out there, whether you're in or out the faith, who go out of their way to help anyone who is genuinely in need, especially the teachers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.